Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series called The Promise, God's Everlasting Covenant. Our topic today could sound a little boring, but it isn't. Covenant law is about a loving God wanting to protect us in that relationship that transforms our lives. And I'm excited today because one of our team, Tricia Lee, is going to be leading the study. And it's really exciting to see young adults stepping up and teaching the Word. And we know that many of you are doing the same. We'd love to hear from you if you're leading a study group. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We'd love to hear how God's blessing your ministry. And I want to welcome our team, too. Hello to the team.
Hello.
Here we are. We're waving. You know, I was just looking at the team. Take a look. Doesn't this team look like the world? I mean, we look like we're from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that's one of the amazing things about Hope Sabbath School in more than 200 countries around the world is that we're all part of the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, I just want to use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah. And some of you have written to us, and we want to just say thank you. And you can write, share with us how God's blessing you through His Word. Thank you to Iruka, who writes from Nigeria. Iruka, that's a first for me. I'm an ardent follower of your interactive Bible study from Nigeria. Continue your good work. Someday I will meet you all at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I like that. Our master teacher. Till then, may the grace of God be with you all. Your brother in Christ, Iruka. Well, thanks for writing to us from Nigeria. And we're glad that you are part of our family, but we're also glad for the invitation to meet you at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Henry writes from Kenya. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Kenya. My name's Henry, and he says, I've been greatly blessed by your Hope Sabbath School program. May the Almighty God be with you always and give you the peace of Christ. Shalom. Well, Henry, thank you for writing to us. You know, shalom is a wonderful Hebrew word that is a deep kind of peace, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When we, you know, in the New Testament, they would say grace. That's kind of a New Testament word. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a handwritten note from Michigan in the United States. Travis, you're from Michigan. This is from a donor. Oh, Brittany, you're also from Michigan. Let the team give a wave to this anonymous donor because we don't tell who they are. But I really enjoy watching your programs on your YouTube channel. God is blessed by your interaction. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God is blessed by your interaction and your sharing of the Word with the Holy Spirit's anointing. I am also blessed, writes the donor, and wanted to be a part of your ministry by giving a contribution. Though this is a small amount, I am trusting the Lord to multiply it for His work. And I'm hoping there will be many more times I will be able to send an offering. God bless you all. Thank you for your courage to share and a gift of $40. Amen.
Amen.
I just think that's so beautiful. And, you know, thank you for affirming courage, because Tricia Lee is teaching today. And I remember, Tricia Lee, the first time you taught, you were a little nervous. But God has given her the Holy Spirit anointing, and here she is now, an experienced teacher of the Word. Well, here's a note from Verlin. Oh, no, that's an email. Excuse me. From Teresa in New York in the United States. She says, I'm from the beautiful island of St. Lucia in the West Indies, but I've been living in New York for the past 39 years. Hope Sabbath School has been such a blessing. I've been watching for a number of years and really appreciate the interaction of the panel, how they make the Bible so easy to understand. We say,
amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I am a Sabbath School teacher and always use your outline when I have to teach. Well, Teresa, that's awesome. I've got my outline here. When Tricia Lee is going to be teaching, you can share it with your whole team. And you have a roadmap that can help you in your study. So we're glad you're using that outline in your class. May God continue to bless you as you reach millions with the Word of God and souls are won for Christ, your sister in Christ, Teresa. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Thanks for writing to us. Beautiful island of St. Lucia as home, but now in New York City in New York. I think I'd want to go back to St. Lucia. But you know, there's a mission field everywhere, isn't there? One last note from Jesula Jesula is a young lady, and doesn't tell me where it's written from. So, Jesula, you'll have to send us a note and say, I'm from, and give us your country. By the way, when you write to us at SS Hope, hopetv.org, don't forget to put your country. Or if you're in the U.S., give us your state and that you're here in the U.S. Jesula writes, I'm writing to let you know how much I enjoy Hope Sabbath School. I really appreciate the ministry. It's very uplifting, encouraging, spiritually minded, especially with everything going on in the world today. Is that true? Wow. She continues, my church has been closed for almost a year, but thanks be to God, it could have been worse. Thank God for His forgiveness. May our lives thank God for His blessings. Without Him, I don't know where we'd be. Thank you. May God continue to bless you. Well, Jesula, thanks for writing to us wherever you are. And thanks to all of you for being part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Right now, we need your help. We need you to sing. We're not allowed to sing in the studio because of the restrictions. But we have a beautiful theme song from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Let's sing it together.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Make known.
Wonderful thing to call upon the name of the Lord, especially as we study the Bible, Tricia Lee. So why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your covenant law. Thank you so much for your covenant love. Please bless us as we open your word and study these important themes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So
amen.
We are continuing lesson number 8, an exciting series talking about the covenant. And today's topic is covenant law, covenant law. Let's start off by answering the question, why would God choose the descendants of Abraham to be His special people? Why them? Let's start answering that question in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 8. And we're going to find, first of all, the reason that's not the answer, why He did not choose them. Brittany, would you please read that for us?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage,
amen,
from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Amen. Yeah. So, Travis, what was the reason, it's like a double negative, why did He not choose them? It wasn't because...
It wasn't because they were more numerous or they were more in number than anybody else.
It was because
He loved them. Yeah.
He loved them. He loved them. He loved them, and He wanted a special purpose for them. Let's keep reading and determine what that is. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And let's find what that beautiful purpose was that He had for this group. Gladys.
I'll be reading from the New International Version, Exodus 19, verse 6. And he says, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites."
Ah, you'll be a kingdom of priests. Let's hold on there. Let's see if we can understand a little bit more what that means. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture today with this study, but that's great.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 60, and let's read the first three verses. We're trying to understand the purpose God had for the descendants of Abraham, also known as the children of Israel, why he called them. Kim, would you read those three verses?
Sure. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising."
Mm. Amen, amen. Now, we know the light that's shining through them is a light from God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what is the message? What is the purpose that we're hearing? God wants them to be a nation of priests, mm-hmm. but he's talking about this light shining. What's the purpose that we're gathering here?
I'm here to share the gospel. I mean, because we know that throughout the ages, Satan tried to paint a bad picture of God. Mm. But then through this people, God is actually revealing himself and the working that he's doing through them in their hearts mm-hmm. to show, no, God is a God of love, and he cares for all of us.
Amen, amen, Pastor.
Especially, I thought it was important that you pointed out, it doesn't say a kingdom with priests,
mm-hmm.
but a kingdom of priests, mm-hmm. which means everyone has a special ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't say, well, that's Tricia Lee's. No, we all have a special ministry. And, of course, we know that's true for the spiritual descendants of Abraham, too.
Amen, amen. Harold, you said an important word. You said the gospel. Mm-hmm. The gospel. Kim, what is that good news?
Oh, that Jesus came to forgive everyone of their sins.
Amen. And at that time, he wasn't there yet, mm-hmm. but that Jesus, a Messiah, would be coming.
That's right.
So through this special nation, he wanted them to be what? Representatives mm-hmm. of him. Mm-hmm. Important, important truths. All right, so was this just limited to the descendants' genealogical line of Abraham? You're shaking your heads, no. Am I included in that, or are you included in
Amen.
That?
Yeah.
Let's find out how. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and let's find out how that divine purpose extends to all of us today.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. Travis, looks like you're there. Would you read that for us?
Verse 29.
Verse 29.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
Mm-hmm. Heirs according to the promise, the same promise. But by faith, we are believing and claiming that same promise, mm-hmm. that we too can be lights to share that good news mm-hmm. with others. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And so, what's special purpose does God have? Is it different than the purpose he had for the children of Israel?
Mm-mm.
Has it changed? What does it look like for us today? Brittany?
It looks like us having, first we need to have that personal relationship with God, and then when we have that, we're able to share what God has done in our lives with others, and we're able to say, look, if God can do that for me, he can do that for you.
Absolutely. Brittany, you're right. And let's see in 1 Peter chapter 2 just how right you are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It looks like Gladys, you're already there.
Yes.
All right. We're going to understand that that divine purpose has extended to us through faith.
Amen.
To us. Go ahead, Gladys. Read that for us.
New International Version, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light."
Amen. So we're hearing some of the same language from Isaiah, that there's darkness mm-hmm. and light needs to shine there. Travis.
So this meant a lot to me as I understood the sanctuary and the job of the priest, because the priest was in... God's plan of salvation was shown to us through the sanctuary message. on earth. And the priest was involved in the salvation of the sinner from the beginning unto the end. Mm. And so when I'm thinking of a priest, it's like God just does want us to be a light and then walk away. But he actually wants us to get involved and take and be a light continually to our neighbors and to the people around us, from introducing them to Jesus all the way till Jesus would come again, or until we die.
Amen. Start to finish ministry. Harold, what's your...
Oh, I just wanted to add that in the Old Testament, the invitation to like be partakers of God's priesthood was not just like only to Israel, because in Isaiah 56, at the end of verse 7, it says, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations."
Amen.
So the invitation for everybody to participate in basking in God's grace was like for everyone. Of course, the Israelites being the ones who promote that to everyone.
It's a good point. If I have a special important message that I need to get to an individual, I'm going to send that message through a trusted individual. I'm going to choose someone who I know is going to take that message and share it completely. Now, we know that if we look through history, there were times that the children of Israel, even us today, we don't always reflect that message perfectly. But what a privilege. What a privilege. And to think that God calls us a holy nation. What is that holiness? Where does that holiness come from?
From God.
From God. God working in us, just like you said, Brittany, working in us to shine through us. Gladys.
Or something holy, something set apart, separated. So God has separated us, you know, so we can show what, like Brittany was saying, what he has done for us through the world. So that's the same call that he gave to the people of Israel, to be the light in the world where they lived.
There is still darkness in the world today. And God needs lights, faithful lights to represent him. All right, let's continue thinking about this theme of covenant. And let's refresh ourselves, our memory. We've been talking about covenant a lot this series. That's our theme. But let's remind ourselves, when we're talking about a covenant, a good synonym would be a contract or an agreement, an arrangement. And often contracts, they have terms and they have conditions. And we're talking about covenant law today. If we are talking about the law of the covenant, this covenant law, what exactly, what precisely are we talking about when we say covenant law? What law is that?
The law of God.
The law of God, which is?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. Now, there's something special about the laws and terms and contracts for a covenant. It really sets out what the expectations are for both parties or any party that's involved. But there's something really unique and special about the Ten Commandments. It doesn't just lay out requirements for action. It's also, in a way, a promise. It's also a promise. Let's look at two verses that help us to understand that a little bit deeper. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. While someone's turning there, can another volunteer turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. We're going to read two verses that are going to help us understand the very unique nature of this covenant law. Unlike any other law or set of laws that we have on earth or we've ever known, it's requirements, but also a promise. All right, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. Harold, would you read those verses, please?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, or they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more."
Amen, amen. I'll forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. Let's look at one more verse, set of verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. Brittany, would you read those for us?
Yes, I will. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 10, and you said verses 16 and 17. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more."
What from those verses tell us that this is a promise of God? What is God promising to do for us?
Write the law in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Harold?
He'll actually write the law in our hearts.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, how can I put this? Basically having the same mind as God. Mm. Because we are so far away from God that we have even like forgotten like what is that thing to live like righteously? What is to have love? Mm. But we see that the commandments is kind of giving a picture of God, who is God in actuality. So basically that law is being imprinted in us, so we become also loving as he is loving. I mean, that's how I take
it. So you're saying there's a difference between doing a loving act,
yeah,
mm-hmm, or desiring, wanting to do that loving, yeah, act. It's flowing from my heart. Gladys, tell.
Yeah, usually as a teacher, you know, you want the kids to learn something by heart. And mm-hmm, when you say that you learn something by heart, it's like it becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. So that's what God wants, the law to be so much part of us that it becomes who we are, that it will be second nature. Obeying will be second, yeah, nature.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Travis.
So the book of Jeremiah describes the heart as being deceitfully wicked. Mm-hmm. And it says, who could know it? So we don't even know our own heart. So there has to be a transformation, because if we're going to follow our own hearts, it's not going to turn out well. And mm-hmm, so God is writing his law on our hearts so that our actions and our thoughts fall in line and harmony with his character.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I see two promises here. Not just that God is promising to change my heart. Brittany, do you want to?
I was just going to say the second promise is he's going to wash away the sin.
Yes, right? He's going to
wash the things we've done. Yes. He's taking those away.
We are Christians and believers because we are trusting Jesus Christ to do what he promised, mm-hmm, to cleanse us from sins, to forgive us, to make us right with him. Mm-hmm. But this promise says that we will also have changed hearts. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise.
Pastor, I think there's a third promise.
What's
here?
The third promise?
He says, they shall know me.
Ah.
And that's very much, it's not just knowing about him, mm-hmm, but a relationship, a saving, loving, like Harold said, a loving relationship with him, where even in a marriage, I'm not thinking, well, what are the things I can get away with and what am I not supposed to get away with? But it's all motivated by love. And I think that loving relationship is at the very foundation of the covenant.
Amen. When was the last time you thought about the Ten Commandments this way? As a promise, not just a set of laws and requirements for us, but also God showing us how he will hold up his end of the bargain, mm-hmm, to wash us, to cleanse us, to transform us, to be more like him. Let's keep reading. Let's keep looking at some more verses about this covenant law. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go right to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we are going to read verses 13 and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. I'll then ask someone to head over to chapter 10 for us. So let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Brittany, would you please read those verses?
Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach your statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess.
All right, let's head over to chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 12 and 13. We're still in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Kim, would you read those for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. We're talking about covenant. We're talking about covenant law. We're talking about the unique nature of this law. It's a promise. And yet we call it, and even here, the Ten Commandments that we are required to keep, commanded to keep. Why are we commanded to keep these requirements? Why are they requirements after all? God loves us. Why are we being commanded to do these things? After all, God has promised to change us. Travis.
Well, in Exodus chapter 20, it starts out, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at the Ten Commandments now, it's like God brought this people from slavery to freedom. And now he's giving them a list of things that keep them free.
Mm.
And I feel like it's the same for us today, because keeping the law is actually freedom. When I don't break the law of my land, I don't go to jail. So I'm actually free when I fall in harmony with God's law. So he gives them a set of guidelines to keep them free.
And free not just from physical bondage, but from the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional bondage of sin, the worst bondage that there is. Why else is God commanding them to do this? Brittany.
Well, the verse that was just read said it's for our own good, right?
For our good.
To protect us. So if you think about a parent and child relationship, a parent knows things that could harm their child, and they set boundaries like don't touch the stove or don't run out in the street when a car is coming, because they love them and they care about them. So it's the same thing with God's commandments. He doesn't want us to get hurt. He doesn't want us to die.
Amen. Thinking back over into Deuteronomy chapter 4, those first verses, 13 through 14, he says, observe them in the land you cross over to possess. Now, thinking back to the purpose for choosing the descendants of Abraham, why might he want, or why would it be important for them to keep these commandments as they go into the land that they're crossing over to possess? Harold.
Actually, that is answered in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 4.
Oh, let's turn there. Deuteronomy 9 and verse
4.
Okay. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 4. All right.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. So basically, God is basically teaching the children of Israel, hey, this is how love looks like, and I'm giving you these instructions, the commandments. Now, please show these other people to know how to love as well, because these people are wicked. So this is how we actually get to like experience God's love with other people who are wicked, and praying that their hearts will be transformed as well.
When we think about that light shining in the darkness, it's impossible not to see it. If you're in a dark room and someone lights a candle, it starts to dispel that darkness. God wanted them to live these requirements visibly so the other nations, their neighbors, could see. You know, God did many miracles for them. For them, they were not, you know, a nation of warriors. They were former slaves. They didn't have a history of combat, but God was blessing them in mighty ways. And it would draw the attention of anyone, and they'd wonder what makes them so different. But if they take a look at their lives and don't really, they look just like us, then they'll think, oh, well, their God must be just like our gods too. But that different lifestyle was going to be a light to point back to God. Travis.
And thinking as we're talking about lights and being a witness, John chapter 1, verse 5, that light came into the world and the world could not comprehend it, but it really means the world could not, darkness could not extinguish it. So as long as they had the law of God and they followed that, they would have been a light to the end of the world, because darkness could not have put it out. It could not have suppressed it. And when they started doing wicked things and contrary to that, then the light starts to fade, because they're not sharing that light anymore.
Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 172. And this is a beautiful declaration, about this covenant law, also known as the Ten Commandments. A law that we don't have to think of with any type of negative attitudes, but we can have very positive, warm feelings about. All right, Psalms 119, verse 172. Brittany, would you please read that for us?
Sure, and I will be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness.
All your commandments are righteousness.
And I was thinking of another scripture song where it says, He leads me in paths of righteousness. It would make sense if God is righteous that He would want to lead His children in the paths of righteousness. That's in Psalm 23. And as you said, then we reflect the beauty of His character. We reflect, arise, shine, for your light has come. We reflect the light of His glory as we follow His way.
Amen. Beautiful. Let's look at one more psalm. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Travis, will you read those verses for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Amen. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Now this sounds like the words, the testimony of someone who has experienced this, who has learned this, come to know this by experience. Greater than rewards, there's great reward, but it's better than gold? What do you think brought the psalmist to pen and write these words? That the law of the Lord is, it's perfect, that it makes us wise, that we can rejoice in it. Travis.
He's the same writer that wrote, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I'm guessing this has to be experience. I don't have to guess. I can read that it was experience. He knew what sin was about, but he knew what mercy was about, too.
Gladys?
Well, I think that, like Travis was saying, once you have that experience with God, like if you look through the life of David, he went through so much up and down, but that trust and friendship with God always remained. So he saw what happened when he broke the covenant, and then that God was still there waiting for him. And once, you know, he repented, he went back into that fellowship. So he could tell clearly, you know, how much the law of God is good.
Amen, Pastor.
And I think that great reward that it talks about is not that God will save us or love us. As Travis pointed out, He's already saved us, and He loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. The great reward is all of the good things that come in the context of that covenant relationship. We're not blocking them. We're not hindering the blessings God wants to give.
Amen. It's easy to look at a set of laws and just think, oh, these laws are here to restrict me. But we are reading and learning from people with experience that these laws, this covenant law, is for our good.
Amen.
That it helps us and benefits us. I'd love to hear from you. Can you share a time when you began to view the law of God, the Ten Commandments, as a blessing and not as a burden? Or maybe I should ask, have you always viewed it as a blessing? Maybe I should start there. Have you always viewed it as a blessing? And if not, when did that change for you? When did that change?
Well, for me, my relationship with the Sabbath, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. So for me, the Sabbath was like, you know, I knew honor your father and mother. Everything was like easy. Of course, I'm not going to commit adultery or kill somebody. But the Sabbath, I always felt like it was a burden at the beginning when I was little, you know, the way that it was taught to me. But as I grew older and then I came to be, you know, a worker, and I just had, like, when the Sabbath came, it just became like, well, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Sabbath. And it has been such an experience just to experience that for myself instead of being told you have to go to church, you have to do this, but see it as a delight on my own experience.
So you reaped
physical rewards from being able to rest from your labor. Can you share, did you benefit spiritually by following that command?
Of course, because you set your mind apart from the worries. You may have like a very big burden on a Friday, just something happened to you. And when the Sabbath hours are drawing near and you enter in that relationship, into that rest with the Lord, your spirit is renewed. And it doesn't matter what the world, it's like a space in time, like a bubble that you turn on and you're like, oops. Yeah, everything else goes away, and I'm in here with my God.
Amen.
And it's just like everything changes, your perspectives, your thoughts. And maybe when you come back on Sunday to the same problem, you see it with different eyes because you spend that time with God.
Praise God. That's beautiful, Gladys. Travis.
I wish my experience was the same, but it wasn't as a young child. I grew up thinking that if I didn't keep the commandments, that God was going to get me. Mm. And that actually, when my parents separated at about 15, I was afraid of God, and I turned into a rebellious young man because I thought, I'm not going to be good enough anyway, you know. And so when I came to the realization that God would write his law on my heart and in my mind, that it wasn't him saying, do this or else, it was him inviting me into a relationship where he would enable me to do this.
Yep. Oh,
whoa, that just changed my life. I don't know how many times I've shed tears over the very thought, because my whole perspective of who God was changed completely.
Amen.
And now instead of a God who's saying, you better or else, I saw God with his arms open, ready to receive me and pick me up where I would fall and take me along this journey where I would have joy, where I would have peace, where I could share that with others.
Where you could be free. Where
Hallelujah.
You could be free. That's beautiful. Thank you both for sharing that. I am sure that there are people watching this who, if not themselves, they might know someone who sees the Ten Commandments as a burden or as restrictive or as something that's not really needed today. Let's look at some verses and see if we can understand or at least answer this question. You know, why, what do we need most in this troubled world? What commandments do we need most in this, in the darkness? Mm. In the darkness. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And let's read verses 37 through 39. I told you we'd have a lot of scriptures today. That's good. That's good. We're digging in. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. Brittany, would you read those verses for us? And we're answering the question, what do we need most? What commands do we need most today?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
What do we need today?
Love God, love others.
Okay. You know, Bible students have recognized that that's a summary. Mm-hmm. To love God with all your heart is the first four commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm loving my neighbor as myself, I'm certainly not going to kill my neighbor, steal from my neighbor, commit adultery with my neighbor's spouse, covet. It's a great summary. And I think Jesus gives us a precious gift by kind of stepping back and saying, let me make this very simple.
Very simple.
When you see this covenant law written in your heart, it's really summarized in two great commandments. Mm-hmm. Love God with all your heart, where you're certainly not going to have other gods, idols, take his name in vain, or ignore that special day that he's given to fellowship with him. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, these other commands will become, I think, as Gladys said, what a miracle, second nature, that I just want to do that which pleases God.
Amen, amen. It's so interesting for, you know, someone who might consider the law as a restriction or as a burden on them. Mm-hmm. You know, who would ever want to be stolen from? Or who would want someone to lie on them or to murder them or to disrespect them if they have children? It's interesting that it's easy to look at the law from one perspective on this side. But if we do just what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, you can view that law as something beneficial as well. When we all participate in that.
So let's keep studying. So, you know, this covenant law, it's terms and conditions, if you would, but a blessing for us and certainly a promise from God. And let's look at some verses. How do we know that God is going to keep his end of the bargain, if you would? Mm. How do we know that he is the covenant-keeping God? Let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And this is important because this isn't just a law and an agreement that was made in ancient times that we happen to come across, stumble across because it's recorded. Is it really still applicable for us today? Will God hold his end of the bargain? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Gladys, would you read those verses for us?
Sure. I'm reading from the New International Version, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return?
Beautiful question and a beautiful promise. You know, we mentioned, Travis, you mentioned earlier that oftentimes the children of Israel messed up. We mess up too. Mm-hmm. But look at how God is promising that he's right there. When we return to him, he doesn't run away from us. He's not tired of us. Yeah. He doesn't say, oh, there you go again, breaking my laws. It's impossible for you. Let me turn my back. He does not do that. When we are open and willing to accept that mercy and grace, he's ready to forgive, mm-hmm. ready to welcome us back. Travis.
Well, I was just thinking the first part of the verse, those two verses, he says, I am the Lord who doesn't change. And this is written to the children of Israel. So if God doesn't change, you're absolutely right. We can make that application today. Mm-hmm. He's the same. If we return to him, he will return to us.
Let's look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. God does not change. He is the same. Harold, would you read that verse for us?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
We don't have time to do a deep study of this, but we know our great lawgiver was Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He didn't come to do away with that law, that covenant law, the Ten Commandments. He has not changed his mind on the blessings that he has in store for us through that promise. Mm. And that is beautiful assurance for us. Mm. When we read these laws, the Ten Commandments, even when we see the struggles of people long ago, we don't have to be discouraged or think to ourselves, well, if they struggled with it and I'm struggling with it, why should I continue down this with this covenant law? Because God is faithful. Mm. And remember, this law is unique in that it's also a promise, not that God will keep us where we are, but that he is transforming us to be more like him, to be more like him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Since our God, our covenant-making God, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, what can we expect concerning that law? What can we expect? Let's find the answer in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 17 and 18. Travis, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled.
Amen. So two things we see here. He says, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, when we're talking about the law, we know we're talking about the Ten Commandments. When Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the prophets, right, but to fulfill, do we know what he's talking about? Mm. Any thoughts? Travis?
The writings, it would be the writings of the writings that they had at that time.
Concerning himself, mm-hmm. the messianic promises, the prophecies that were pointing to him. He's literally saying, I am Messiah. I have come to fulfill the promise of salvation to you. Mm-hmm. Not just that, but because I'm the covenant-keeping God, I have not changed the law. Mm-hmm. It's still the same promise that I can change your hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can change your lives to be and to fulfill this law of love. To love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Yeah. To love my neighbor as myself. So knowing that Jesus himself puts such a high emphasis, he's pretty much equating the law with his own fulfillment of prophecy as our Savior. What do you say to a friend who says that, you know, those commandments are obsolete? I don't need them. We don't need them. I can live my life by reason and by love. I'll just love people. I don't need rules. I don't need these restrictions to tell me how to do it. How do we answer someone who thinks that? We shouldn't laugh at them. No, we shouldn't laugh. But how do we answer? How do we answer that question, Harold?
Well, my question will be, I will answer with a question. Like, so by what standard are you basing that love and that reason? Because that can be different for many people. Then love doesn't have a consistent meaning.
So you can love a dog, you can love a hot dog, I can love, you know, a hairstyle.
Well, the reason that you might love might be different than another person if there's no standard.
Right.
So that would be my question.
Okay, so good question, Travis. Want to add to that?
Well, I just think when, just building on what Harold said, is that if our love doesn't fall in line, we just learned that our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. If it doesn't fall in line with God's ideal, then our ideal might be actually hurting somebody without us even recognizing.
Okay, great points. Brittany, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to ask a couple more questions to the friend. One would be, where in the Bible does it say that God's law is done away with? Because we just read this verse that says, you know, Jesus came to fulfill. So where do you find that? But the other question would be, what is your understanding of the purpose of God's law? Because it sounds like maybe they don't understand that it is a promise from God. It is for our good. It's something that God does inside of us. So maybe they don't understand the purpose of God's law.
And by us being at that light and being a witness, we can share the blessings that we are experiencing by being in this covenant relationship with the Lord. Pastor.
You know, the text that came to my mind, Tricia Lee, I would say, I think it's good to use your brain and to love. Those are good things. The challenge is, back to the sinful heart that Travis mentioned, Proverbs 14 says in verse 12, there's a way that seems right. Mm-hmm. I'm using my reason, it seems right, but the end is the way of death. So, yes, use your reason, but your reason should take you to God, your covenant-making God who loves you, who knows Isaiah 46, the end from the beginning. I'm not putting my brain in neutral when I say I'm choosing to come into alignment with the covenant-making God.
Amen.
And in terms of love, he wants me to love much more than I thought I could. He wants me to love God with all my heart and to love my neighbor like I love myself. So I would agree with that person, but share with her or share with him that the Scripture guides us regarding the use of my reason.
Amen. I love what you mentioned, Travis, by saying that we might try to love someone and we could end up hurting them, not realizing it. Even love and reason tells us we need instruction. How do I know how God wants to be loved? How do I know how anybody else wants to be? I ask them, or if they've already told me, then that's what I should do. That's the way to love that person. If I want to love my husband and I know he likes cake, I can use my reasoning and say, well, you know, I'm going to keep giving him carrot cake. He could hate carrot cake, but I'm going to keep giving him carrot cake because I love him so much. But if I know he wants vanilla cake, when I know he wants vanilla cake, am I still being loving by giving him carrot cake? No. You love and reason want us, lead us to seek out what that person is interested in this case, what God has required of us. And he has told us, he has showed us what is right. He has showed us how to do that. God is so good.
He is.
Let's keep going. We're coming down to the wrapping up this study. And let's read two verses. And we're going to see what they both have in common. Again, we're thinking about covenant law. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. And while someone's going there, can I get another volunteer to head over to Leviticus chapter 26? We're going to start in Exodus, and then somebody else can head over to Leviticus chapter 26. We will read both these verses, and we'll see what they have in common. So first, Exodus 19, verse 5. Gladys, looks like you're there. Would you read that for us?
I'm reading from the New International Version, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations it will be my treasure possession, although the whole earth is mine.
Okay, let's look at the second verse in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 8. It looks like, Brittany, you're there. Would you read those verses?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 8. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. Mm-hmm. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you.
Beautiful promises. What do we see similarities between those two passages that we read? Promises for what?
There's condition if you keep the commandments. Mm-hmm. This is what will happen afterwards.
Okay, what are those things? Were they positive?
Yes.
Okay, they were positive. They were things that a nation would want: to chase your enemies, for your harvest to be fruitful, to be blessed.
Some people hearing fall by the sword could think, oh, there they're going, killing people again. But actually, if you read stories where they fully trusted God, the enemies turned on each other. The enemies who said, we don't believe in God, they turned on each other. And, you know, I think of Gideon's band. They were just blowing trumpets and holding up torches, you know. So God is an awesome God, wanting to say, back to using my brain, follow God's way. It is the best way.
It's the best way. Here's the question, though. Does observing these commandments earn us his blessings? Or do they keep us connected so that we can receive those blessings? You're nodding.
Okay. One or the other.
One or the other. Are they doing all these things so they can be a mighty nation and conquer their enemies? Kim.
No, they're not. They're doing so. It goes with the second thing that you said, Tricia Lee, that we obey God to keep us connected to receive his blessings. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love or favor or his blessings.
Well, let's read and see for ourselves in Deuteronomy 5:33. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 5:33. Deuteronomy 5:33, and whoever's there first, we're still going through the word. Still going through the word. Oh, Kim, looks like you're there. Would you read that for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess.
Amen. Someone said earlier, Brittany, I believe it was you, that a loving parent gives rules to protect and to keep their child safe. Certainly, the law of God, his commandments, his statutes, many other requirements that were given to the people were things for their own good. But I want us to tie back to the purpose. What was the purpose again? Remind us of the purpose again for entering. Like, why did God choose these people?
Kingdom of priests.
A kingdom of priests to represent him, to represent him. You know, part of me feels as though, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, you kind of lose that privilege of being God's representative when you're not living and looking like him. That in a way it's like, you know, I can't trust you to be this awesome nation to your neighbors in front of everyone when you're not going to point them to me. So not only does breaking God's law put us outside of the protection of God, not only does breaking God's law put us on dangerous ground because now we're living sinful, dark lives, but we're also forfeiting that honored position. We're forfeiting that being separate, that being holy. We're going to look just like everyone else, have the same problems that they have, and the like, that we are stepping outside of God's protection.
I thought of the words of Jesus, Trishley. I think it's very powerful. That would be like when Jesus said, do not put your light under a basket. The light's not going to shine.
It's not going to shine. It's not going to shine. Let us wrap up our study by going to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. And when we think about this law, we think about all the experiences, not even of the children of Israel. Think about our own experiences. Sometimes we've had our ups, we've had our downs. But again, we have a covenant-keeping God.
Amen.
Who gave us a covenant law that's also a promise. And let us read how he fulfills that promise in us. Brittany, please read that verse for us.
Philippians 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Isn't God amazing? He doesn't just give me this beautiful promise, this law. He also gives us the power and the ability to love him because he knows that imperfect me, imperfect you, we can't do it right. But he also promises to come right alongside us and to help us be in covenant with him. What a blessing. And thank you so much for studying with me today.
Amen. Thank you, Trishley. You know, I love that last text, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's God who works in you. Right before that, it says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. That's the way it used to be shared with me. But the way we do that, as Trishley has taught today, is to enter into that covenant relationship with God, who's already redeemed us and loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. It is God, that awesome God, who works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. My friends, I just want to use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is so good. Let's pray that our hearts would be fully open to our covenant, faithful covenant God today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are faithful to your covenant. And you invite us, as Travis said, with open arms, not with folded arms and a stern look, but with open arms, loving us with an immeasurable and unfailing love to enter into that saving covenant with you. God, thank you that you will also work in us to transform us, that to do your will be a joy of our hearts. And as the miracle happens, as the light of your glory shines, may we give all of the honor and glory to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. What a series. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. But my friend, don't just think about that. Accept that covenant love relationship with God and then go out in the joy of the Lord and be a blessing to those around you.